Amen. Stand with me all over this house as we turn to the word of the Lord today. Next Sunday, one service beginning at 11 a.m. for the holiday weekend, which is customary for this church. Pray for me. My voice is going out today, which is customary. But we're going to push through it today. And, man, I tell you, I'm never amazed at how the Lord organizes and brings things to pass. The way the service has gone just kind of lines up with the way I want to preach today. And what I got on my heart and what the Lord has given me. As I watch those videos and I see all of those people being buried in the name of Jesus, boy, it does something to my soul. There has never been a greater need for global missions than the times that we are in right now. I don't know if you have watched, but over the last few weeks we've watched what has transpired, what has taken place in the nation of Afghanistan. I watch people who would literally climb onto airplanes that were flying off into the sky, falling to their death because they are so desperate for the freedoms that we have in here in this country. Church, I'm telling you, there's never been a time with a greater need for global missions than that what we have today. Amen. And I'm so excited to see the way that the Lord is blessing the global missions departments of the different organizations, the people that are being reached, and the revivals that are breaking out. People are hungry. Hunger is something that you got to hold on to. It'll get away from you. And I see in this country how hunger has gotten away from people. But when they're broken, they're hurting like those people in those third world countries, the people in this country will once again become hungry. Hunger is something that we better hold on to today. Amen. I'm thankful for the direction of this service. Lines up with what I want to speak on today, the way I'm feeling in my spirit. I want you to turn with me for one quick verse of scripture into the book of Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter. Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter, and the 11th verse. If you do not have your Bibles, the scripture is provided for you up on the screen behind me. Please see us. If you do not have a Bible, we want you to have a Bible. Every home needs a Bible. When you get to Ecclesiastes 10 and 11, you can shout out amen. Amen. I got two people. I'm going to go ahead and read. The rest of you keep turning in your Bibles. You'll get there. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 11. The word of the Lord says, surely the serpent will bite without enchantment. Let me know. You don't have to provoke the devil for him to bite you. You don't have to do anything to anger him. You don't have to do anything to upset him. He'll bite you. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and a babbler, my God, and a babbler is no better. Man, that's a powerful statement today. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment, and the babbler is no better. Don't be a babbler today. A year from now, Brother Micah is going to come up to me and say, don't be a babbler. He always remembers my sermon titles, and he always reminds me about a year later after I preached it. Remember when you preached that? Amen. Surely the serpent will bite without enchantment. I want to speak to you today for a few moments on the subject. The blood of the serpent. We talk a lot about the blood of Jesus. We talk a lot about what his blood does for us. But today we want to travel to the opposite end of the spectrum. And I want to talk to you for a few moments today about the blood of the serpent. I want you to lay your Bibles down in your seat gently. I want you to clap your hands unto the Lord and let's make a joyful noise unto the King today. Come on, if you've enjoyed His presence, if you've enjoyed the Spirit of the Lord sweeping through this place, if you're ready to get rid of your fear, if you're ready to stop being afraid, clap your hands unto the Lord today. If you believe there's victory in the name of Jesus Christ, let's magnify the Lord in this house today. Hallelujah. We'll stand before the giant and we'll declare the victory today. The victory today. Amen. The blood of the serpent. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Don't sit down on the Holy Ghost today. Amen. The blood of the serpent. Amen. What a peculiar topic to preach on, right? The blood of the serpent. Amen. In the Bible, the Lord reveals to us our enemy through the image of a serpent. And the word serpent in the Hebrew is nalkash. Nalkash. And it actually has a hissing sound at the end of the word. It's common in the Hebrew language for the words to resemble what they are. Amen. And this is one of those words, the word nalkash. Means the whisperer or the one who plots or schemes. Can I tell you today the devil is a plotter? Can I tell you today the devil is a schemer? Can I tell you today the Bible reveals to us our enemy through the image of a serpent? Amen. Through the image of a serpent. And if we're going to overcome him, we're going to have to learn to understand the serpent. Amen. How many know the old adage that says, keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer? Right? If we're going to overcome the devil today, we're going to have to know about him. And if we're going to overcome the devil today, we're going to have to understand him. Amen. And we're going to have to realize which ways he's going to come at us and how he's going to come at us. Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians that we need to learn to forgive, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Amen. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to know the devices of the devil. Let me tell you something. Every child of God in this room needs to do a good study on the devil. Every child of God in this room needs to know the doors that he's going to try to come in, the cracks and the crannies and every little area that he's going to try to come into your family, into your finances, into your health, into your faithfulness. You need to understand the tactics of our enemy today. Amen. And Jesus said in Matthew 10, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Church, I come to tell you today, if you're going to overcome the enemy, you must learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Listen, the enemy is good. The enemy loves to use appearances or sight to deceive us. Amen. He loves to use the visible to deceive us. He appears as an angel of light. He appears as a friend. He appears as a loved one. He appears as a good time. Amen. He appears as something good in order to trick us, in order to deceive us, in order to mislead us. And in the same fashion, he uses that which appears as bad to discourage us. How many ever been discouraged when things didn't look too good? Let me tell you something, we don't walk by sight. Huh? I remember years ago when Ruby and Mikey had Jediah, and he was hooked up to every kind of machine at that time, which is known to man. He's getting to be old now, so they probably got a lot more machines, but at that time, what they had, he was on it. And he had stuff just, we walked into the hospital, there was just stuff strapped all over that baby. And I remember somebody said, when the church walked in, they said, it doesn't look good. And Ed, Brad's dad, said, well, that's why we're here, to change that. Let me tell you something. You can't get discouraged by what you see. That's a tactic of the enemy. He loves to use the visual. He loves to use that which is good to deceive you. And he loves to use that which is bad to discourage you. But we're the church today. We're the church of the firstborn, the church of the living God today. And we walk by faith and not by sight. So if we're ever going to overcome the enemy, we got to learn to walk by faith and not by what we see. Because the enemy is good at the visual. Snakes have very good sight. They have very good sight. Amen. And they actually have like a, they can sense things. They can sense heat in things. And the devil is very good at using appearances. And he loves people that fall for walking by sight. Because they are the easy prey that he fastens up on today. He loves to use the bad things to discourage us. He'll throw things in your life to make it look like everything is wrong. Everything is bad. Everything is falling apart in hopes that you will panic. In hopes that you will walk away. In hopes that you will give up. So we learn to walk by faith and not by sight. One of the tactics that the devil uses against us is he is good at camouflage. He likes to blend in. He likes to hide himself. He's an expert at blending in to the surroundings. Listen, he will not come and say to you, hello, I'm your enemy and I'm here to destroy you. No, he's going to disguise himself as a friend. He's going to disguise himself as a family member. He's going to disguise himself as a job opportunity. He's going to disguise himself as a home that you can't afford. He's going to disguise himself as a drug that makes you feel good in your body. He's going to disguise himself as some alcohol that helps you get rid of all your problems. The enemy is good at disguising himself. The enemy is good at camouflage. Amen. He's good at camouflaging himself and blending in. Amen. And he's going to come camouflaged into our lives. This is exactly the reason why the church teaches lines and boundaries. Amen. This is exactly the reason why the church teaches the things it teaches, because the enemy blends in, but the church stands out. Oh my God. I'm going to say that one more time. The enemy blends in with the world, but the church stands out from the world. Amen, and this is the reason why we teach what we teach today. Amen. Listen, hedges and boundaries, lines, are for your protection. Cross them, and the serpent will bite you. Cross them, and you're going to find out of who the devil is. When the Lord places boundaries in your life, the Lord places hedges and lines in your life, cross them and the serpent will bite you. One of our greatest protections from the enemy is to have strong hedges in our lives. Amen. We need to have strong hedges in our lives. We need to make up our minds. Church, we need to make up our minds today that we're going to be the church. We need to make up our minds today. We're not going to blend in with the world. We need to make up our minds today that there's some places we're not going to go. We need to make up our minds. There's some people we're not going to hang out with. We need to make up our mind. There's some things we're not going to say. There's some things we're not going to wear. There's some things we're not going to do. We're the church, and we believe in hedges today. We believe in hedges today because the enemy hides out in the hedge. The devil hides out in the hedge. Cross that hedge, and he will bite you. Cross that hedge and he will bite you. Come on, the enemy knows he likes to hang out in the hedge. It should never be your attempt to get as close to the world as you can and still remain in the church. Because the enemy hangs out in the hedge. It should be your goal to stay as far away from the world and stay as close as you can to Jesus. Because the enemy hangs out in the hedge. And the closer you get to the hedge, the closer you get to the boundary, the more danger you're in of the enemy. Cross the hedge and he will bite you. One of the greatest protections God ever gave us was a hedge. Amen. I'm building a sermon right now called The Difference Between a Hump and a Hole in the Hedge. Come on, I believe God believes in boundaries. I believe God believes in lines today. Amen. And we need to make up our minds there's some things we're not going to do. There's some things we will not talk about. There's some situations we will not put ourselves in. Amen. And listen, I'm going to make sure that I got strong hedges, strong boundaries in my life because the devil loves to hang out in the hedge. Amen. And I want to know exactly where the boundaries are that God puts in my life today. Another thing about the serpent is he is preemptive in nature. I mean, oh God, the devil is a preemptor. He loves to destroy things before they ever get started. Amen. He loves. Have you ever watched on National Geographic? You see those serpents and those reptiles and all of those other cold-blooded creatures. They love to eat the eggs of animals, right? And they love to destroy things before they ever get started. Let me tell you something. The devil wants nothing more than destroy your purpose in God before it ever gets started. The greatest thing you could ever do is recognize that right now and say, I'm going to hold on to my purpose in God. I'm going to hold on to what God has called me to do. And I'm not going to allow the devil to come into my life and eat my purpose before it ever gets started. Amen. He is preemptive in nature. He wants to destroy things before they have a chance to become something great. His very keen senses today. He will go after your purpose and the purpose of God in your life before it ever comes to fruition. Listen, he wants to destroy your greatness before it's even born. He can sense that God has big plans for you and he wants to stop you before you ever even get started. Listen, when did he try to use Herod to destroy Jesus? When did he try to trick those wise men? Listen, when Jesus was about to be born, when he was yet a baby, he said, if I can stop this right now, I'm going to stop everything that he came to fulfill. So you know what he did? He used Herod to try to trick those wise men to try to kill Jesus while he was yet a baby. My Lord. When was it when Pharaoh decided he wanted to kill all of the male children of the land of Egypt, so Jochebed had to take her baby Moses, who she couldn't hide no longer because he was old enough to start crying and acting out, so she took him and she hid him in a basket and she set him in the Nile River and sent him down his way. It was when Moses was a baby. Because he knew Moses was called of God. He knew Moses was called of God. So he wanted to destroy Moses as a baby before Moses could ever lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. The devil had his sight set on him. My God, there's people in this church right now. The Lord has called you to do amazing things. And the devil wants to stop you right now before you ever get started. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord if you're ready for your purpose. If you're ready to say, I'm not going to give in to the devil, I'm going to hold on to my purpose today. Come on, hallelujah. Listen, when was it when the devil used Adolf Hitler? Look, the nation of Israel became a nation in 1948. The prophecy was fulfilled when you see the fig tree blooming. Right? The nation of Israel became a nation in 1948. But in 1941, the devil found a vessel in Adolf Hitler. And he said, you know what? If I can wipe these people off the face of the earth, if I can create genocide, if I can put these people in a gas chamber, if I can destroy every one of them, that prophecy is not going to come to pass. Let me tell you something. The devil is a preemptor. The devil wants to destroy what God has called you to do before you ever even figure out what God has called you to do. Huh? That's why those serpents love to eat those eggs. They want to destroy it. They want to destroy it before it ever becomes anything. That's exactly the way the devil is today. Amen. He is a preemptor. He wanted to stop all of those prophecies from coming to pass. Amen. When did the devil tempt Jesus in the wilderness? When did he offer him everything? When did he take him up into the highest place in the pinnacle of the temple? When did he do these things? Right before the start of Jesus' earthly ministry. He is a preemptor. He has a preemptive nature. He wants to stop the kingdom of God today. He wants to stop what God has called you to do today. Come on, the devil today wants to stop the purpose of God in your life. He wants to eat the egg. He wants to destroy the purpose that God has in your life today. The very thing that the enemy targets in your life is most likely the thing that God desires to use greatly. One thing I've figured out is the devil fights what he fears. If there's something in your life that the enemy is targeting very heavy, and he resoundingly keeps continuing to come against it and come against it and try to destroy it, you better bet somehow, some way, God has an intention to use that for his kingdom. Because the devil wants to stop your purpose in the kingdom of God. Amen. Listen today, church. The very thing that the enemy wants to target in your life is probably what God wants to use in your life. Church, we got to learn to cut off the head of the serpent. Remember when I was a boy and my grandmother would take us fishing? I remember she always caught more fish than we did. And we'd be down under the bridge because she wasn't afraid of snakes. We were, but she wasn't. And we'd be down under the bridge and she'd have a basket full of fish and she'd have them just tossed out into the water. And them snakes would, man, they'd come like crazy trying to get a hold of those fish that were in that basket. And I remember so many times her taking rocks off of the bank and just taking and just going over and just smashing a snake right on his head. She was crazy. The woman didn't know no fear. That song we sang about was about Mim. She didn't have no fear, none whatsoever. I mean, you go out hunting blueberries with her, she'd take a rock and she'd just bash a snake straight on the head. Blackberries. But she didn't know no fear. Let me tell you something about the devil. Have you ever noticed, I've tried to kill snakes, and you don't kill a snake by hitting him in the body. You take off his head. Let me tell you something, that's the way sin is. You better learn to get sin right at the beginning, right at the forefront, before it ever evolves in your life, before it ever grows in your life, before it ever becomes something that's going to destroy your life. You better cut the head off of that old serpent today. You better cut the head off of that sin today. You better get rid of that sin. Get that sin out of your life and cut the head off of that serpent. You better know the devil. You better know the devil today. He's a preemptor. He's after what God has called you to do. He's after what God has called you to do. He wants to destroy it. He wants to eat it. He wants to destroy it. And you better cut that serpent off at the head. You better get rid of that sin while you have a chance, because that sin will get a hold of you. That sin will evolve into something bigger than you can handle. But if you cut that thing off at the very beginning, right at the head, and you get rid of it, get rid of evil, get rid of the sin, you get rid of the devil, get rid of those things in your life, you have 10,000 times the chance of succeeding in God. Don't allow sin to get a hold of you. Don't allow sin to eat you up today. Cut that thing off at the head. Amen. You got to cut off the head of the serpent today. In the same way with sin, you got to cut off sin at the beginning. You can't let it grow and then ask God why he won't help you get rid of it. We got to get rid of sin. We got to cut off the head of the serpent today. Deal with it in the beginning. Recognize sin and stop it early. Stop it at the head, and you're going to be 1,000 times greater, 1,000 times stronger, and 1,000 times more likely to be able to continue to walk with the Lord. The main thing I want to preach to you about today is the blood of the serpent. The blood of the serpent. Serpents are cold-blooded. Not cold-blooded as in killers, although that is true of the devil. He is a cold-blooded killer. But that's not the cold-blooded that I'm talking about today. Serpents by design are cold-blooded creatures. They count on their surroundings to control their body temperature. I watch in our neighborhood sometimes, I see snakes, they'll come out and they'll get on the road or they'll get on our blacktop driveway, and they like to lay on that black because that black draws the heat from the sun. And it warms up their body temperature. A snake's metabolism is dependent upon its body temperature. All right? They are cold-blooded creatures. You, on the other hand, you are a warm-blooded creature. Your body has a core temperature inside. And when a snake gets cold, he has to lay on the pavement. He lays at 90-degree angle to the rays of the sun so they can warm him up. When a snake gets hot, you see a snake go over and he'll sliver over into the shade of a tree so his body can cool down in the shade of the tree. Amen. Snakes are cold-blooded creatures and their body temperature is controlled by their surroundings. And even in extreme conditions, snakes have to hibernate. Reptiles, these things, they have to hibernate. They have to go down into the ground where the temperature does not change, and they go into hibernation because their body becomes dormant. The body doesn't hardly do anything. Their metabolism is dependent upon the heat for them to be able to strike and to live and to eat. Amen. When a snake gets hot, he has to go lay in the shade to cool off. His body temperature is controlled by his surroundings. You ever notice there'll be times that you don't see or you don't hear from the devil for a while? It's because he's in hibernation. You ever notice there's times when all hell assails you and the devil gives you everything he's got and the devil's biting and the devil's sneaking and the devil's crawling up on you? He's giving you everything he's got. And then there's times you don't hear from the devil for a while because the devil's a cold-blooded creature. And the devil, his temperature of his body, it determines whether he has the metabolism to strike or not. Listen, you are a warm-blooded creature. Your body was created to maintain a certain temperature. You have the knowledge to maintain that temperature. You have the design to maintain that temperature. Listen, when you get hot, you have sweat glands that releases the heat out of your body. When you get cold, have you ever noticed your body will begin to shiver? Your body begins to shake. That's your body's natural response to the cold. That's your body's way of warming up. That's the design of God. You are a warm-blooded creature. Your brain tells you. You got the ability to think. Your brain tells you, it's cold outside. I need to put a coat on. It's hot outside. I need to get in the shade. I need to get out of this heat. Your body is designed by God. You are a warm-blooded creature. There's a part of your brain called the hypothalamus. Is that right, all of you smart people? Hypothalamus. Hypothalamus. That's what it is. Ain't that right? Hypothalamus. There's a part of your brain called the hypothalamus. It controls the temperature of your body. It's much like the thermostat back there hanging on the wall that controls the temperature of this room. The hypothalamus controls the temperature of your body. And when you get cold, it causes the body to produce heat to keep your core temperature where it's at. It's a good thing I got some nurses and some medical students in here. Teachers in here and counselors in here, all kinds of educated people in here. Why am I up here? Amen. But your body is designed by the Maker to function and to maintain a core temperature. You are a warm-blooded creature. And because of the design of warm-blooded creatures, they can go and go and go and go and endure and endure and endure and endure. Now, I'm not telling you to stay out in the heat all day when it's 105 degrees. Don't. Please don't do that. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is you're not like a snake is. Okay, you're a warm-blooded creature and you're designed to be able to hang in there. So what are you saying today, Pastor? What I'm saying is this. The serpent is a cold-blooded creature, but you are a warm-blooded creature, and the devil's going to strike you, and the devil's going to strike you hard, and the devil's going to strike you fast, but the devil can't strike you forever because he cannot stand. He cannot hold on. He cannot maintain. He's a cold-blooded creature, but you're a warm-blooded creature. You're a child of the living God, and you can hang in there today. You can outlast the devil. You can outlast the devil today because you're a warm-blooded creature. By your design, God has made you to be able to continue and to go on and to go on. Listen, your metabolism is not determined by whether you're in the shade or in the sun. You're a warm-blooded creature. God made you by creation that you can hang in there. Listen, the devil might strike you. He might strike you fast. He might strike you hard. But he can only strike you so much before he's got to go into hibernation. And if you're going to overcome the devil today, you're going to only do it by outlasting him. Your body will maintain its temperature. The Lord will sustain you. You are designed for endurance. You're a child of God. You're a saint of God. You are made to endure today. And if you're going to defeat the enemy, you're only going to do it by enduring today, by hanging in there. You're only going to do it by outlasting him. He's going to hit you. He's going to bite you. He's going to attack you. He's going to sneak up on you. We was on a trip with some friends a couple years ago, and we were down at a cabin on the Ohio River. And we went out back and we were cooking on the grill. And someone turned around and it was Brother and Sister Harper. And Jayla was standing over by the hot tub. And all of a sudden this big snake come just crawling out from underneath of that hot tub. And my Lord, you should have seen every one of us beating feet. Do you know anything about snakes, Pastor? Yeah, I know how to avoid them. I know how to get away from them. I know how to do what I'm supposed to do, and that's get out of their path. I ain't my grandma, and I don't like no snakes unless they're dead. But this big old snake comes crawling out from underneath there, and man, everybody lost it. Everybody lost it. Listen to me. The enemy, the serpent, this cold-blooded creature, he's going to strike you. He's going to strike you hard. But he don't have the ability to keep striking. He's a cold-blooded creature. He is not made for endurance. You are made for endurance. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are created in his likeness. You are made in his image. You are made to endure. You are made to overcome. You're a child of the living God today. Amen. And listen, the devil may have his day. He may sneak up on you. He may attack you. He may have his day. He may have his moment. He may have his time to move and to strike. And listen, though he may seem scary and he may seem triumphant at times, when it comes right down to it, he's still a cold-blooded creature that cannot outlast the people of God. He's still a cold-blooded creature that cannot endure like the people of God can endure. We are made to endure. We are made to endure. Church weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You're made to endure. You're made to hang in there. You're made to not give up. You're born for adversity. You're a child of the living God today, and you're made to endure. You're not a cold-blooded creature. You're a warm-blooded creature. Come on, that's the reason why the Bible says the pleasures of sin are but for a season. Sin cannot last. Evil, sin, the devil, the serpent, they are cold-blooded. They cannot last. Sin, the pleasures of sin are but for a season. Let me tell you something. Sin's always going to catch you. Listen, you may think you're getting away with sin, but it's always going to catch you. Sin doesn't have the ability to endure. The devil doesn't have the ability to endure. Come on, church, sometimes iniquity is going to seem like it's abounding. But he that endureth to the end, the Bible says, the same shall be saved. The same shall be saved. What I come to tell you today is you are not a cold-blooded creature like the devil. You're a warm-blooded creature that God has made in his likeness and in his image, and you were created to endure. You were created to endure today. Don't live in the short term. Don't live in the right here, the right now. Don't get caught up in this moment of trouble or this moment of despair or this moment of depression or oppression or whatever it is that's afflicting you. Don't get caught up in that moment. You were created to endure. You were created to endure. Keep your eye on the prize. You're built to outlast the devil. You are made to endure. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. The blood of the serpent. The Bible reveals our enemy in the image of a serpent. The devil will strike you hard. The devil will strike you fast. But the devil will not be able to always strike you, because he's not created to endure. You are created to endure. There's a huge difference between the cold-blooded and the warm-blooded. We don't hibernate. We don't go dormant. We don't give up. We don't bury our heads in the sand and wait for a better day. We're warm-blooded. We're created by God to endure. We hang in there. We endure. We stick it out. Have you ever noticed how a serpent moves? I was reading this week a little something on this and never really thought about it much, but it's ironic the way a serpent moves. They twist and they turn. They twist and they turn. You know, that's what evil does. Evil twists and turns. Evil makes things into what they're not supposed to be. That's what a lie is. A lie is the twisting and the turning of the truth. The impure is the twisting and the turning of the pure. Come on. The devil is a twister. The devil is a turner. The devil is a schemer. And the devil is a plotter. Wrong is the twisting and the turning of the right. Twisting and turning is how he moves. Church, the power of the serpent is short-termed. It's short-lived. I know there's times you feel like he's given you all he's got. But rest assured, he is not created to endure. You, Jamie. You, Edwin. You, Greg, You, Kevin. You, Hope. You, Laura, you are created to endure. You are created to hang in there. You are created to fight. You are created to last. Your body by design resembles the toughness and the resolve of Christ Jesus. You're made to hang in there. You're not cold-blooded, you're warm-blooded. You don't have the blood of a serpent. You're warm-blooded. You've been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ today. You've been covered by His blood today. The devil cannot last. His metabolism depends upon his circumstances. Church, we were built to last. We were built to make it. There's nobody in this room that God doesn't want to make it. There's nobody in this room. Listen, there are different hair colors. There are different heights. There are different colors of skin. There are people who can grow hair and people who can't. But we're all designed to last. We're all designed to last. We're all designed to make it. We're not cold-blooded like that old serpent is. So outlast him today. Outlast him today. Don't throw in the towel today. Don't give up on the cause today. Don't give up on your purpose today. You're designed to outlast the enemy. You're designed to outlast the enemy. John said, I have written unto you because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You have overcome the wicked one. Listen, you don't always have to be stronger than him. You don't always have to be smarter than him. There's going to be times you're going to find yourself weak. There's going to be times you're going to find yourself hurting. There's going to be times you're going to find yourself discouraged. But no matter what the circumstance is, you are designed to outlast him. You are designed to outlast him. You can outlast the enemy today. The blood of a serpent is cold-blooded. You are warm-blooded in nature, and you have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're designed to last today. As we sing this song unto the Lord, I wonder if there's anybody in this place that would say, Lord, I haven't always made all the right decisions. I haven't always been the strongest. In fact, I've made a lot of mistakes in my day. But one thing I desire of you is that you will give me the strength to outlast all my adversaries. Because I can be an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I can be an overcomer in Christ Jesus today if I will just outlast my enemy, that cold-blooded serpent today. The Bible reveals many things about the devil to us. The greatest thing you need to know today is he's cold-blooded, and you can outlast him. You can overcome him. You can overcome him. As we sing this song unto the Lord today,